Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, the 15th chapter in your Schofield Bible, page 1096. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. We'll read the verses responsively, verses 1 through 10 of Luke, chapter 15, page 1096 in your Schofield Bible. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And let's pray. Father, you've given us this hour to be together as a church family, and we find a wonderful opportunity here in that your word is to be preached. Those of us who've been here for numbers of years know that the preaching here has been faithful, helpful, practical, and we stand in need every week of a refreshing and in need of your strength and blessing. So we call upon thee once again for this hour. Meet with us in Holy Spirit power, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you once again to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read those verses again and point out a few things to you. And I'll pray and then we'll have the message. Luke chapter 15. Now before I read, I want to remind you of what it's all about. There are three parables here. Look at me. There are three parables here. There's a parable of a lost boy. There's a parable of a lost sheep. There's a parable of a lost coin. This lost coin was worth 15 cents. That's all it was worth, 15 cents. The story is of the reclaiming a lost boy. He was lost, and he said, his father said, my son was lost and is now found, the prodigal son. The finding and reclaiming of the lost sheep, and the finding and reclaiming of a lost coin. Now, I want you to look at the similarities. Look at verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Notice the word lost. Until he find it. Notice the words until he find it. Then in verse number 5, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Notice the word rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors. Notice that carefully. And saying unto them, Rejoice with me. Notice that. For I have found my sheep which was lost. Now in verse 8, look at it. I want you to notice, and please do not use your pens now. I want you to just read and listen to me without taking notes. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose, there's the same thing, had a lost sheep, now here's a lost coin, one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. That's the same words up there about that sheep. Till she, Apollos, he find it, now till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends. Hey, that's what they did about the lost sheep. And neighbors, that's what they did about the lost sheep. Together saying, rejoice with me. Same thing was said about the lost sheep. For I have found the peace which I had lost. Now then, look down to verse number 22. This is when the prodigal son came home. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf, let us kill it, and let's eat and be merry. There's the same type thing. Got the neighbors together. Said, let's have a party. My boy is home. Said the same thing about the lost sheep. Let's have a party. My sheep found my sheep. Said the same thing about the lost coin. Let's have a party. I found my coin. And this in verse 24. It says in verse 23, bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat and be merry. There's that same rejoicing. Rejoicing about the lost coin, rejoicing about the lost sheep, and rejoicing about the lost boy. And then it says, for this my son was dead, is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to talk to you this morning, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, on the road to big success. The road to big success. I want you to just look right this way, and I want you to follow me. Our Heavenly Father, I believe this morning I have a truth here that can transform somebody's life. But I'll have to have their attention, and I promise that I'll give you mine, and I ask you to give me theirs, please. In Jesus' name. Look right this way. Carefully. Brother Boyd, would you come up here, please? And Brother Luke Boyd, his son, would you come up here, please? Tell what you do. Just stand right here for right now beside each other. I want you to take this 15 cents and hold it in your hand there. I think some of you are already getting the idea. Listen, no talking. Listen to me. No talking. Listen to me. I marvel at this chapter. Especially at the similarity of the three stories. The parable of the lost son, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost coin. But first, I want you to notice the difference in these three parables. First, we have a lost son, the most valuable possession of the three. One of the most valuable possessions a father can have. A son. And you have a lost son. Now, second was a lost sheep. I felt I should not bring a sheep this morning. He may embarrass us all right here on the platform. And but second is the lost sheep. Third is the lost coin. 15 cents. Check your Bible. Check the Bible dictionary. And you'll find that this lost coin was worth 15 cents. Now listen carefully. I want you to notice, we've noticed the differences now, from a son, how much is this boy worth? Oh, I'd say $1.98. I know him. He's worth an awful lot. He's my friend and my pal, but even so much more to his father, Brother Boyd. How much is this boy worth? Indescribable. No way to talk about the worth of a son. And on his hand, in his hand here, I don't want it, just hold it up. He's got 15 cents. Now, the thing I want you to notice, listen carefully now. The thing I want you to notice about this is the similarities of these things. Number one, the same word was used concerning the boy, the sheep, and the coin. Same word, lost. Lost. Got a lost boy, a lost sheep, a lost coin. Second similarity, the same determination was expended to find the coin as to find the boy and to find the sheep. It said concerning the sheep that he sought until he found it. And it was said about the coin that she looked until or till she found it. And if you'll check the story of the prodigal son, you'll find the same determination for the lost boy, the lost sheep, and the 15 cents. Now, Brother Boyd, if all of a sudden Luke turned up missing. You'd look, you'd scan the place, you'd call everybody where whose home he might be, you'd call the police department, you'd put out a missing person, and you'd look and look and look and look. But if you lost 15 cents, just 15 cents, I mean, with all the money you got, 15 cents means nothing to you. But you'd look for it, but you wouldn't look long and hard. But in the Bible it said that the boy, the sheep, and the coin were all sought with the same determination. Don't leave me now. Not only the same word, the same determination, but the same rejoicing. It said when he found the boy, he called his neighbors and they began to be merry. They rejoiced. When he found the lost sheep, he called his neighbors and friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, I have found the sheep." They called the neighbors to rejoice over the boy being found. They called the neighbors to rejoice over the sheep being found. They called the neighbors to rejoice over the coin being found. Same thing. Now, if this boy comes home and he's found, boy, you'd have a big time, wouldn't you? But in the Bible, listen to it now. In the Bible it says that they had the same rejoicing over 15 cents as over the boy. And the same rejoicing over a sheep as over the boy. Now the difference is a boy of inestimable value, a sheep of far less value, and a coin worth 15 cents. Now, something else. Same celebration. Call the same people in. When the boy came home, they called the friends and neighbors. When the sheep was found, they called the friends and neighbors. When the coin was found, the 15 cents was found, they called the friends and neighbors. The same rejoicing. Just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if this boy was gone for a week, and all of a sudden you found him, man, you'd call me and call his house, call our house, call the church. "Hey, Luke is back. I found him. I found my boy's home. Hey, rejoice, I found my boy." But if you lost 15 cents, and a week later you found it, you wouldn't call me. You wouldn't call my house. You wouldn't call the church. But God said they had the same rejoicing over 15 cents, are you listening, as over a son. That isn't all. Same word, same determination, same rejoicing, same celebration, same concern. Over 15 cents. There's so much here. But what I want you to notice is this, that though the sheep is more important than the coin, and though the boy is more important than the sheep, the same effort was expended on all three. I'll call you back again after a while. I want that 15 cents back after service is over. I'll give it back to Ms. Hiles. Hey, Luke, sit up here, Luke. Up here. That's good. You're going to be on the staff for a while. Assistant pastor. Best looking one up here, I'll tell you. The only good looking one up here. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying the easy job is not of equal importance, but it is supposed to be the object of equal effort. That means if you've lost 15 cents, the 15 cents is not the important thing. The important thing is to do the best you can in whatever you're supposed to do. Same effort. Same determination, same doggedness, same rejoicing, same celebration over 15 cents as over the boy. No matter what job. By the way, that's what we're talking about. I mentioned Oswardy a while ago. This man right here gives the same determination to his work, the same effort to his work to keep those buses rolling, as Dr. Jack Hiles does to keep this big monster operating around here called First Baptist Church and its ministries. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the custodian may not think he's as important as the pastor, but he's supposed to work just as hard in his job as a pastor does. If you play the piano, play the organ, lead the choir, sing in the choir. Some of you folks don't come to choir practice. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Some of you men never come to choir practice. This is God's choir. This is not plaything. It's God's choir. I'm not mad at you, but I'm telling you the truth. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for not coming to choir practice. I mean, I'm trying to say, brother, this is God's business. And if God said, "I want you to look just as hard for 15 cents as for the boy or the sheep,
I want you to have the same celebration, call the same friends, call the same neighbors to live it up. God is telling us that every little single job is supposed to be the object of the same diligence and effort as any other job. That means I'm to prepare you to prepare for a little test as much as you prepare for the final examination. And if you'll prepare for the little test as much as you prepare for the final examination, you won't have to prepare too much for the final examination. That means that, get this, you're supposed to treat your family as courteously as you treat company. That means that you're supposed to give as much diligence in preparing, old ladies, listen to me, you're supposed to give as much diligence in preparing a routine meal for your family as preparing a special meal for company. I want to understand something. You keep that beautiful china and silver tucked away till company comes. I got news for you. I'm as important as company at my house. So get that stuff out. There are no little jobs. Looking for that son was a vital job. Give it your best looking for that son. Looking for that sheep. Keep looking, keep looking, keep looking till you find it. Keep looking for that coin. Sweep the house, light a candle, and find that coin. And the same diligence that finding 15 cents. You give me people where the custodian works as hard as the boss man does. You give me people where the Sunday school teacher works as hard as the school teacher does. You give me people where the Sunday school teacher is just as faithful to his or her class as the school teacher is. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no little job in God's service. None. 15 cents compared to that boy right there, but the same diligence, same determination, same effort, and same rejoicing, and same neighbors, and same celebration. That means you're supposed to treat the poor like you treat the rich. That means you're supposed to treat those people right up there that slept on the streets of Chicago last night with the same friendliness as you treat that man right there that's chairman of the Board of Deacons, the First Baptist Church Hamlet. That means that those people up there, the street people, slept on the streets last night, or these bus kids, or these rescue mission men, that means they're supposed to have the same treatment as the doctors and lawyers and businessmen of this church have. And you found one church where that's true. What does it mean? It means you're supposed to have the house as clean for the family as for company. What does it mean? It means you're supposed to speak to your Sunday school class with the same vigor and preparation that you'd speak at a convention. What does it mean? It means you're supposed to shine the back of your shoes as well as the front of your shoes. What does it mean? It means you're supposed to play as hard in practice as in the game. And the reason the Chicago Bulls are world champion basketball team today is not because of how they played at game time, it's how they played at practice time. What does it mean? It means you're supposed to let your routine be your best. I said let your routine be your best. What does it mean? It means you're supposed to speak with the same intensity or Jesus did to the woman at the well as to 5,000 of the Sermon on the Mount. You check that Sermon on the Mount and you compare it with a sermon he preached to one man, Nicodemus, that great John chapter 3 on the new birth. Jesus used the same zeal and gave the same great truths or truths just as great if he spoke to one person or 12 people as if he spoke to 5,000 people. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to be as nice to the beggar as to the donor. You watch me sometime. You watch me the way I treat some of these mission men or some of these fellows up here. And I treat them with the same honor I treat Dr. Jack DeCoster, who built that dining hall out there and gave Howells Anderson College $1.5 million to build that dining hall. It's exactly what it means. There are no unimportant people. There are no unimportant jobs. It means you're supposed to work as hard at the routine as the special. It means you're supposed to treat the mission man as nicely as you treat the businessman. It means you're supposed to treat the bus kids as courteously as the rich kids. It means you're supposed to be as nice to the homeless as to the elite. It means you're supposed to undertake the easy with the same vigor as the difficult. It means you're supposed to listen as well in the classroom as you do to a famous speaker. You know what I said? If Lee Robertson comes to Howells Anderson College when he does every semester, you sit there in the classroom or the chapel and hear him as he preaches at the Evans Auditorium. You're supposed to sit in classroom and listen just as intently when 15 or 20 people are in classroom to a teacher as you do when Lee Robertson speaks. 15 cents! 15 cents! Compared to that precious boy there. 15 cents! And yet God said, look for the lost 15 cents with the same vigor you look for that boy and look for that sheep, and keep on as long looking for that 15 cents as you do for that boy and that sheep, and rejoice as much when you find that 15 cents as you do when you find that boy, and call your neighbors when you find the boy and when you find the 15 cents or find the sheep. What God is saying here, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I'm sick and tired of church work being done so haphazardly. I'm tired of Sunday school teachers not showing up till 15 minutes after class starts. I'm tired of Sunday school teachers just not showing up at all and the class doesn't even know where you are. That's not the way to do God's business. If I didn't walk in that door this morning and nobody knew where I was, listen to me. You listen to me. If I didn't walk in that door this morning and nobody knew where I was, and somebody said, where's Brother Howells? And somebody said, I haven't seen him. You listen to me. You'd be infuriated, and you should be. But God is just as infuriated when you don't show up for that Sunday school class of boys and girls. 15 cents! 15 cents! A dime and a nickel! Can't compare with that boy. But God said, I want the same effort, determination, for that 15 cents. I'm sorry, I forgot you said one eye. So you just caught one of the coins. It means you're supposed to treat your students as nicely as you treat special guests. It means you Howells Anderson College teachers and staff members are supposed to treat your students with the same delightful friendliness as you treat Lee Robertson when he comes. That's what it means. 1959. Yeah, 89, somewhere, 9 something. He said 59, 69, 79, 89. I know it wasn't 99. 1989, I had pneumonia. Had both kinds, what you call bacterial and viral pneumonia. Chris Grafton, the nurse at the college, head of our clinic, and Dr. Dennis Streeter treated me royally. I mean, boy, they kept up with me. They pampered me. Dr. Streeter called me. He'd come to my house and care for me. You never saw anybody have the care I had when I had pneumonia in 1989. I mean, Mrs. Grafton and Dr. Streeter both. 5 weeks ago tonight, I was in my office. I just boiled some water, but make some instant coffee, and it was still boiling. And I spilled it on me. And so I had second-degree burns. Miss Howells called Chris Grafton, didn't you? She called Chris Grafton. Chris Grafton rushed to my office. Chris Grafton called Dr. Streeter. Whatever he was doing, he changed it. He came to my office. And the truth is, his son was in the auditorium singing in a special group that night. And he was over in my office taking care of my burn. Big old place right here and a big old place right here in that tender spot of your thighs. And Dr. Streeter was gently caring for me. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. They're treating me with the same care that they used when I had pneumonia. Same care. I mean, they had the same concern and the same burden. We were up in Mayo Clinic, Miss Howells, having surgery. Dr. Streeter found out that my burn was so bad I couldn't travel. He called up there to our hotel on the telephone to check on me. I'm saying to Dennis Streeter and Chris Grafton, a burn right there was important as pneumonia. Not because they was concerned about my life and they had pneumonia, but because whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Fully on this haphazard stuff. Fully on this second best stuff. God said if it's 15 cents or a boy, I want the same effort, the same diligence, and the same rejoicing. They surprise you. I spent more time preparing this sermon than I do preparing a pastor school sermon. They surprise you. I married two of this fellow's girls. I'm going to marry the other one next year. And then if they have any more, I'll marry them too. But I love this man with all my heart. There's not a more loyal man on the face of the earth than Ray Boardway. A man that not only says he's loyal, but he's tested his loyalty in a way that there's no way to describe. His wife is just as loyal as he is. A little bit more cantankerous, but just as loyal as he is. Shall I tell him what you said the other day after my sermon? I was preaching the other day on treat your husband like you did before you married him. I said, you ought to have the same treatment, the same tenderness, same courtesies, same weight. Mabel came by. She said, you had to mention weight again, didn't you? I'm saying, I love this man. When his daughters walked down that aisle on his arm, with all of my heart, I wanted to give them a lovely wedding. I studied. I spent 4 hours preparing my own heart for it. I drove by their house and asked God to help me to have them have a nice wedding and prayed for each daughter as I will for the third daughter who gets married. She'll tell you. You give me a little bus kid walking down the aisle with 25 people sitting here. And she'll tell you that I spend as much time and as much effort trying to give that poor little bus kid a nice wedding as I will the daughters of Ray Boardway. That's what he's teaching here. If you're looking for a boy, look with all your might. Live it up when you find him. If you're looking for 15 cents, look with all your might. It may be the 15 cents is not as important as the boy, but diligence is always important, and doing your best is always important. You ask Ms. Hiles. Every Sunday morning after breakfast, I clean the kitchen, wash the dishes, clean the kitchen. Every Sunday at noon, I wash the dishes, clean the kitchen. Every Monday morning, I wash the dishes and clean the kitchen. Every Monday night, I wash the dishes, clean the kitchen. You say, when's her time? Friday at noon. No, but every Sunday morning, that's my job. Every Sunday at noon, that's my job. I wash the dishes and clean the kitchen. Now, since she's been ill, I've cooked breakfast every morning for about 4 weeks because she's been ill. At least she says she is. She said the other day it's going to take about 3 years recovery, it looks like. But you ask her. When I clean the kitchen, I clean the kitchen. I mean, I clean the kitchen. Every time I clean the kitchen, I clean the gas, what do you call them? Gas burners. Yeah, big words throwing. I take the top off of it. I take the inside pan out of it. I wash the inside pan. I use a Brillo pad. I mean, if I clean the kitchen, I clean the kitchen. Now, when somebody else cleans it, it usually embarrasses me. When I clean the kitchen, I clean the kitchen. If I preach a sermon, I preach a sermon. If I teach a Sunday school class, I teach a Sunday school class. I'm trying to tell you, if I'm looking for a lost boy, I give it all I've got. If I'm looking for 15 cents, I give it all I've got. If I'm looking for a sheep, I give it all I've got. Ladies and gentlemen, every job there is, regardless of how little, determination and diligence ought to be the way we do it. You come to my Sunday school class on a Sunday morning. Then you go to some convention where I'm teaching a seminar. And you won't tell the difference. You ask this woman, the choir, Miss Hiles, the woman to whom I am most courteous sits behind me right now. men on this platform receive the same respect from me as Lee Robertson does. I give each of these fellows more time than I give Lee Robertson while he's here. You come to a congregation somewhere where I'm preaching on a Monday night. Last week, I was in Wadsworth, Ohio. Tuesday morning, I preached to about 75 people. You come to a congregation where I preach Monday night, about 150 people. Tuesday night, maybe 200 people. Just show up. Just anytime you want to. And you'll find that Dr. Jack Hiles preaches with the same fervor, and the same zeal, and the same compassion, and the same effort to 75 people as he does to 7,500 people on this great crowd this morning. Why? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. If you're looking for a boy, look till you find it. If you're looking for a coin, look till you find it. If you're looking for a sheep, look till you find it. If you're looking for 15 cents, look till you find it. You come with me as I walk down the alley back to my office any Sunday morning or Sunday night and see how I speak to the folks I walk. Often I walk by first some of these men, street people waiting to get baptized. Then I'll walk by maybe some Spanish-speaking people waiting to get baptized. Then I'll walk by one of my good buddies, a boy that has muscular dystrophy, I think it is. Little Depper boy. I'll walk by him. Then I'll walk by some bus kids. I'll promise you they get the same handshake from Brother Hiles as the most famous preacher in America does when he stands behind his pulpit. I promise you R.G. Lee was not treated with more royalty than a bus kid. This means that God is as concerned about the least important person here as he is the most important person here. Listen carefully. He's talking about people. He's using this lost boy and lost sheep and lost coin as a symbol of unsaved people. When I got saved, I was a 15-cent one. Two people got saved the same night I got saved. I was one. And a deacon's son was the other. God is simply saying, heaven rejoiced as much over poor little Jackie Boy Hiles, the son of the neighborhood drunk, lived out in the ghettos, as heaven rejoiced because of that deacon's son. But Lord, would you stand right here, please? Son, would you come up here and stand right over here, please? Pray. Stand right beside him. This is the bus kid. Chairman of the Deacon Board, holds a responsible position at Northern Indiana Public Service, lives in a lovely home, Munster. God gave the same son to save this boy he did to save this man. Jesus shed the same blood to save this boy as he did to save this man. God gives. When this boy got saved, God gave him the same Holy Spirit that lives in here, that lives right inside here. When God so loved the world, he gives exactly the same love to this bus kid as he does to this deacon chairman. He wrote the same book for this boy he wrote for this man. He's preparing the same heaven for that bus kid. He is for that man. He made the same plan of salvation for that bus kid he did for that man. And get this. This is the lost boy here. This is the 15 cents. But when this lost boy got saved years ago as a son of a reputable family in the Calumet region, heaven rejoiced. Angels praised the Lord. Saints in heaven shouted the glory to God. And Jesus had a spell. This little bus kid got saved. Angels rejoiced. saints in heaven rejoiced. And Jesus had a spell. When he got saved, it caused the same stir in heaven it did when he got saved. 15 cents. A son and 15 cents. This morning, maybe you're the son. Maybe you're a doctor. God loves you. He'll save you. But you'll get saved the same way this bus kid did, or you'll go to hell when you die, one or the other. It may be you're a businessman. You're the son. Somebody told me this morning, we have a professional fighter here. I just want you to know, if you didn't like my sermon, let me know and I'll change it, sir. I've got a record, 10 victories and no defeats. Don't mess with me, fella. Be 10-1. Professional fighter, that's the son. But wherever you are this morning, tucked away in the back corner of this building, a public school kid that's never heard the gospel before, a mission man that stumbled in off the streets to be housed and fed, to try to rebuild your life, a street person that slept in Lower Wacker Drive last night, you have no bed, you have no home, you have no toilet facilities. Your home is a piece of is a street corner, and your bed's a slab of concrete. God loves you as much as He loves Raybould Way. He loves the 15 cents as much as He loves the son. This morning you may be one of the elite. God loves you. He wants you to come to Himself, and if you'll come, all of heaven will turn loose and rejoice and praise God. But if you're 15 cents, like I was the 15 cents. But God was just as concerned in saving me as it was a deacon kid that Sunday night at Fernwood Baptist Church. Thank you, fellas. Thank you, son. Thank you, Brother Ray. And so God is teaching us more here than He's concerned about the lost. He's teaching us that whatever we do for Him, whatever we do for Him. Seeking a lost boy. Seeking a lost sheep. Seeking a lost coin. We ought to give it our best. Same diligence. Same effort. Same determination. And once we've accomplished the task, the same joy. Are you here this morning? A son? A son? I mean, you have a nice house. Drive a nice car. Wear nice clothes. God loves you. And if you'd walk down this aisle, all of heaven would praise His name and rejoice and shout, a lost boy's come home. Kill the fatted calf and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a new robe on his back. A boy is lost and is found. A sheep comes home. Hey, neighbors! Hey, friends and neighbors! Hey, come and rejoice with me. I found my sheep. It may be that you're just 15 cents, like I was. You may be the poorest person in this house, most introverted little bus kid, the mission man that's been the deepest into sin, the loneliest person on the streets of Chicago. But God loves you as much as He loves me. We sang a while ago, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. And this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Would you bow your heads, please?